Okay, we left off last week. We were discussing a little bit about the Malach of Tzedah, and it happened to work out really nicely. Those who learned Daf Yomi, there's going to be a little bit of an overlap between some of the sugyas that appear actually in today's Daf and what we're talking about. But we're going to be focusing primarily on the statement of Chazal that appears actually in a few places in Masechet Shabbos about a Tzad Nochash, a person who traps a snake. So a Tzad Nochash lo yishchenu. He's trapping a snake to enable that the snake doesn't bite. So what is the din? So the Gemara says that potter, person with tzad nachash lo yishchenu, is potter. But we know that the term potter in the Shabbos just about always means potter of al osur, that it's still prohibited mid the rabbanim. So here the Gemara says this is an exception to the rule that tzad nachash lo yishchenu not only is potter not being osur in the Torah, it's not even osur mid the rabbanim. This is one of the three examples with the verses of Shmuel. Kol poturi de Shabbos potter al osur chutz bitulah. Step three. One of the examples of potter umutter. Why is it potter umutter? So the simple reading of the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos is for the following reason, that min haTorah, there wouldn't be a concern of trapping a snake for other reasons, putting aside issues of health and pikuch nefesh, even forgetting about that, the Gemara says, that just the simple act of trapping a snake, shalei shcheder, to prevent the snake from biting you, would never ever be a nisa deraisa, because this would fall into the category. This would be covered by the p'tur of malacha shein tzricha legufa, something we spoke about many times, that I do malacha, but I do it for a fundamentally different purpose that was practiced in the Mishkan. That's at least the way Tosos defines malacha shein tzricha legufa. So we pass in malacha that that's not an issa d'raisa. Malacha shein tzricha legufa is only osur midrabbanan. So over here, when I'm doing an act of tzeda, but I'm doing it specifically for a purpose that's not Mishkan oriented. In the Mishkan, they trapped animals to use the animals. Here, I'm trapping the animal to remove it. Here, I'm trapping the animal to save myself, to protect myself from getting bit by the animal. So that's a tzeda shalolotzer gufa, and that can never, ever be more than an issa derabbanan. Now, just because it's an issa derabbanan, why does that translate to become mutter? So that's what the Gemara explains, that sometimes Chazal lifted the isurim derabbanan b'makom tzar. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes they did lift certain isurim b'makom choli, b'makom tzar, etc. Again, Tosfos points out that it's very hard to know, to extrapolate from one isur derabbanan to another. It's hard to tell what the hierarchy is within certain isurim derabbanan. But this particular isur derabbanan, malach shein tzricha legufa, Chazal did lift b'makom tzar, and therefore, even though presumably there's no not a life and death situation, apparently the Gemara is not discussing poisonous snakes, so we're talking about a situation where it's not a question of life and death, it's just a question of a very uncomfortable getting bit by a snake. So this is what would otherwise be an issa derabbanan, malach shein tzricha legufa, would be lifted b'makom tzar. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. That's the reason why tzad nachash lo yishchenu is potter and why potter umutter. That's the pashut pshat in the Gemara. The problem is already, the earlier Rishonim already raised this problem, and the Rambam for sure has to deal with this problem, is that not everybody agrees that Malach HaShem Tzich L'Gufa is Potter Ben HaTorah. There happened to be a Machlekes HaTenoi between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and although most of the Rishonim probably side with Rabbi Shimon that it in fact is Potter Ben HaTorah, but the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam paskens explicitly in Hilchos Shabbos, like Rabbi Yehuda, that Malach HaShem Tzich L'Gufa would be a Deraisa. Therefore, according to the Rambam, Tzad Nochash Lo Yishchenu should probably also be a Deraisa. If that's the case, then short of a real bona fide Bikuach Nefesh, that should be a problem. We're never going to permit Yisurim Deraisa just to mitigate Tzad. So according to most of the Rishonim who follow Rabbi Shimon, that Malach Shetzil Gufa is Potter Ben HaTorah, so then I understand why Tzad Nochash Lo Yishchenu is Mutal Lechetchila, because they lifted the Yisurim Derabonim B'Makom Tzad. But according to the Rambam, that the starting point is being also in HaTorah, Malach Shetzil Gufa is Gornish Kav, that's not going to be matter anything. Then you have a real bona fide Deraisa. If you have a bona fide Deraisa, what's the matter? How in the world could it be Mutter? So one would have expected the Rambam not to quote this din. Well, if one's expecting that, one's in for a big surprise, because the Rambam does quote this din. The Rambam, the Chashav, says the Feirish, Hatzad Nachash Lo Yishchenu is Taka Mutter. So now we have a big problem. So the Rambam, the Shittasa, who paskins, like Rabbi Yehuda, the Malach Shetzich Legufa is awesome in HaTorah, how in the world can he be matter and otherwise is a deraisa just because a person has a little bit of discomfort? So what's the matter of Tzad Nochash, at least according to Shita Sim Rambam? So that's already a problem. That's already a huge problem according to the Rambam. So there are many, many answers that are given to this Rambam. We're going to hopefully try to focus on some of the more popular ones, not just because it's important to learn the Shita Sim Rambam, it's important to understand the sugya according to everybody, But some of the issues that are going to emanate from the ancestor, this Rambam, are going to become very, very much relevant to Halacha Lemaaseh for us at Hilchos Shabbos. Some of the Yesodos that we're about to embark upon now are going to become critical in terms of applying to other areas of Hilchos Shabbos as well. Some of the Yesodos we spoke about a little bit in the past, and some new things here and there as well. So the basic topic, the basic question that we're dealing with in today's year is, how do you understand Shittas Rambam? How could the Rambam quote Sadnachash L'Hashchena being Mutter if the Rambam himself says that Malach She'etzuk L'Gufa is an Issa Derei? So what other possible Heta could there be for Sadnachash L'Hashchena? So there is a suggestion that is given. It appears to be the view of the Baal Halachas Gedolos. The Baal Halachas Gedolos already predated the Rambam by several hundred years from the period of the Gaonim. It was Machlekes the Rishon who exactly wrote the Baal Halachas Gedolos, but whoever it was, some great Adam Gadol from the period of the Gaonim. So comes the Baal Halachas Gedolos and says that there is a totally different heter, a totally different route to go down to be matir tzad nochash lo yishchenu. Nothing to do with what we said before, Machshes Nagufa, a whole different ballgame. What's tzad nochash lo yishchenu based on? It's based on two very simple words. A sugya that we're very, very well familiar with these days. We've been learning the sugya, so to speak, for the last 4 months. The sugya is called Pikuach Nefesh. The sugya is called Tzikaras Nefashos. Come to Baal Halachas Gedolos and says, you want to know why Tzad Nochash L'Yishchenu is Mutter? I'll tell you why it's Mutter. Not because it's a Derabbanan, the Macham Tzar, a whole story. No, it's Mutter simply speaking because it's Pikuach Nefesh. Now, wait a second. How can you just say straight out it's Pikuach Nefesh? I mean, and other Rishonim didn't think it was Pikuach Nefesh. I mean, is it Pikuach Nefesh, not Pikuach Nefesh? Are we talking about rattlesnake? Poisonous cobra? What kind of snake are we talking about? Are we talking about a real concern of Pikuach Nefesh? We're not talking about a concern of Pikuach Nefesh. So it's a little bit of a strange thing, but the Rishonim have Machlokes and Metzias. So what does the Baal Halachas Gedolos mean? What does the Rambam extension mean that the real matir is Pikuach Nefesh? Is it Pikuach Nefesh or is it not Pikuach Nefesh? So the answer is, it's very clear that the Baal Halachas Gedolos and perhaps the Rambam extension are almost redefining for us the terms Pikuach Nefesh. What exactly does that mean? What exactly does the words mean, something is Pikuach Nefesh? I guess it's obviously a very, very critical sugya, of course, Nogei L'Maisa, for sure all the time, especially now. You have to fine-tune exactly what Pikuach Nefesh means. So even within Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh, and we spoke about this many times in different contexts over the last several months, even though, obviously, we're very, very makel, so to speak, in Pikuach Nefesh, makel and machmer are always a hot term when you discuss Pikuach Nefesh. This goes back to the famous story of Reb Chaim, that somebody once was criticizing Reb Chaim Brisker. They said that, I understand, you're so makel of Chil Shabbos. Said, you let Chil Shabbos right and left for Shabbos of Pikuach Nefesh. Said, how can it be so mazalzal? Here the Briskers are known for the Chumras, Reb Chaim is known for Zah Chumras. How can it be so makel? And he's so skila. He's so makel. So Reb Chaim responded that he's not a makel in Chil Shabbos. He's a very, very big machmer in Chil Pikuach Nefesh. So it's a chumr nekula. It means I'm going to be so super duper machmer above and beyond everybody else in the midst of the chaybahem. So that's inevitably going to lead me the day Pikuach Nefesh. That's the background for the. I don't know whether Reb Chaim made that statement in the following story. But this is a very famous story from Reb Chaim that Maisa Shoy about the Pikuach Nefesh. It happened in his house itself. It happened with a member of his family. I think the story with the Rav may have been the one who was sick at the time. I don't remember. I think it was the Rav, another grandson, whatever it was. Someone who was sick in Reb Chaim's house on a Friday. And apparently it was a little bit dark in the room. So Reb Chaim asked the doctor whether he needed a little bit more light in the room or to see a little bit better. So the way the story goes is the doctor responded, no. I don't need so much more light. You're probably okay with the light that I have. So Reb Chaim told probably one of his sons to go light a candle, to go put a lantern or something, bring a lantern or something, so the doctor could see a little bit better. So the child was asked, the family member was asked to bring to be Michal Shabbos, their eyes, to light a candle or something to make it a little bit more light. So they questioned Reb Chaim, and the doctor just said he doesn't really need it. The doctor said, no. So the way, again, I wasn't in Brisk or one of the larger November story happened back in the 1800s. I can't tell you every single detail about the story. But the gist of the story went something along as follows, that the family member questioned Reb Chaim. He said that how come you're lighting the candle? The doctor doesn't really say he needs it. So Reb Chaim responded something like, that that's a chashash of Amaratus and Epikorsus or something. Like that. He said that the din is that some people go to Epikorsus and the chashavis. He said, if the doctor would have said, I absolutely believe Shum Suffolk, don't need the light, I'm totally fine, I can do everything. Okay, so it's not even latest a Suffolk. But for the fact that the doctor said, no, the fact that the doctor said, okay, maybe, you know, I could be able to do a little better job with the light. So that shows that the doctor himself was a shtuk of a super. So the doctor himself was a little bit super, because they're going to be more machre than the halacha. He said, it's Epikorsus. And then he said, it's Epikorsus, never just nechakala terakula. He said, even a suffix koldu is nechakala terakula. So you can't play games in uchus bikwach nefesh. So I don't know whether Reb Chaim made this comment in response to that story, but it would have been appropriate in the context of that story. So when they asked Reb Chaim, how can we sell this? I was also making a full Shabbos. So he's turned around, he said, I'm much more machre bikwach nefesh. So we're going to be very machre bikwach nefesh, but yesh b'mul b'dover, even in uchus bikwach nefesh, you have to reach a certain point where you say, this is not even a bikwach nefesh whatsoever. Marshal the famous shah that was presented to Rav Moshe. So he asked Rav Moshe, for the purpose of a person becoming a doctor, so can they be Mechal Shabbos in order to train to become a doctor? It means what they're doing now is not, they're not being asked to take your Mechala right now. They're being asked to proceed in their medical training. So there's no chayla, nobody's sick. So they want to do something now in order to, that'll help them down the line be a doctor. So much, I don't know how much you get this muscle, but you have an eighth grader who wants to do well on a biology test. So because if he does better with the biology test in eighth grade, then he'll understand biology better, he'll get a better mark on the AP test, then he'll get into a better college, get into a better medical school, and in 60 years from now, he's going to save a patient. So Moshe says, how much lights on us? He said, that's not bikwach nefesh. You're not a doctor yet even. The facts even aren't even on the ground. He said, how can you, that's not bikwach nefesh. I ain't a double safe. So it's that almost echoes an idea that the Neid Behuda writes in the Shuv also, that not only in order to have Pikuch Nefesh, so you have to have a doctor or some expert, somebody, if you don't have any experts or someone who has some barochi in what's going on, or at least a sophic in what's going on. And you have to have a choyla. Let's say you don't even have a choyla fanenu. So there's a famous shahada with yesterday Neid Behuda about you're allowed to do an autopsy on somebody. Because the doctors think that maybe they'll learn something about a certain condition, and maybe in 20 years from now they'll be able to save somebody's life. So then Yehuda writes that if there's mamash chayla lefaneinu, there's a sick person right in front of us, and doing an autopsy on Reuven may save Shimon, even if it's only a suffix, so whenever Isser is involved doing autopsies, it's an Isser of Nivala Meis, it's a bit of a Skura, maybe it's an Isser HaNomen Meh, like a list of 20 Isserim that are involved in doing autopsies, so maybe they're right, and all those Isserim will be lifted, so if it's a Pikuach Nefesh, then you're allowed to do the autopsy, and you're going to do the autopsy to save the other person's life potentially. Taka, just parenthetically, the Binyan Tzion, Zorach Lanea, will disagree with that, maybe he writes that, even if it's Pikuach Nefesh, not allowed to do an autopsy, because the Aruch HaNer held that Pikuach Nefesh is a matter for the Adam L'Mokhams, it's not about the Adam L'Chaveiros. Says, who gives you a right to be, to steal the other person's organs, to be mavazah the other person, to be novel the other person, in order to save somebody else's life? Kodesh Baruch Hu is Michael, he's covered for Pikuach Nefesh, but you have to get mechila from the other person. The other person's dead, he can't create you mechila anymore. So you can't do an autopsy even for Pikuach Nefesh. That was a chiddush. I didn't say we followed that view. The Neid Behuda assumed that you can do an autopsy and you mechuv to an autopsy if it's going to save somebody's life. But the Neid Behuda says that what's called saving somebody's life, so when you have a chayla faneinu, that's called saving somebody's life. When there's no chayla faneinu, you're going to write a paper about a topic and you're going to pick up some information, and 20 years from now, someone may find so it's may possibly save somebody's life. So the Bina says the Eilud of a Sof. That's called the Chayla Fenei Yekei. That's not even a Negeder of a Sof Pikuach Nefesh. So Sof Pikuach Nefesh is a very real halachic category. It has very real halachic, borders and boundaries to it. It has to be something that's in front of us. It has to be some reality right now. It can't be some in the Veltarim somewhere in the Eilud of a Yoinim. There's something's going to happen down the line. That's not called a Sof Pikuach Nefesh. But when you have real things in front of you, that's a real Sof Pikuach Nefesh. So in light of this, the Baalach is Gedayla, so probably by extension the Rambam would possibly hold, that Bamedev HaMamurim, that you can give these very, very distinct categories of Chayla Faneinu, Rofe Lefaneinu, Choli Lefaneinu, that's when you're dealing with a Pikuach Nefesh of one person. Because of one person, you can quantify, you can say, I can identify the problem. I see Is there a pikuach nefesh of Reuven or not? Reuven's not sick. There's nothing wrong with Reuven right now. Reuven's not even going to become sick. Like Nechem, 20 years from now, he's going to become sick. That's not the pikuach nefesh. But when you're dealing with a rabbim, when you're dealing with, I guess, in today's world, we would call a public health hazard. So then the Baal HaKadosh of the Feirish, that's called the Hezek Sharabim. A Hezek Sharabim, you can't make Cheshbonis anymore because the Hezek Sharabim is so unpredictable because there are so many different players, so many different factors, so many things going on that you can no longer say, well, there's no Chalef Fenena, there's no Rofa Fenena, therefore there's no Pigroch Nefesh. No, the Baal HaKadosh opinion is that once you have a potential Hezek Sharabim, Hezek Sharabim automatically is elevated to the state of a Pigroch Nefesh on the level of Deraisa. This is way before epidemiologists studied diseases, this is before cholera epidemic, before the Black Plague, this is coming from the days of the Gaonim, an assessment of public health. This is Mamish, the first statement in Halacha, a statement in Halacha about public health, that when you're dealing with the issue of public health, so then the standards of Pikuach Nefesh, apidim d'oraisa, are different because things are so much less predictable. So therefore, the Malach Gedolus would argue to you that, say, this Nachash is a problem of Pikuach Nefesh, because it's very hard to make that assessment when you're dealing with one person. So I could say, listen, the snake's 20 feet away from me. I'm going to stand over here. I'm not going to antagonize the snake. I'm going to walk into my house, and the snake's probably not going to attack me. So it's not even a subject. If the snake's coming to attack me, it's like the one in today's daf, it's like Ratzon Acharav. That's one thing. It's not Ratzon Acharav. It's sitting in its corner. I'm in my corner. It's not going to bother me. So it's okay. But if you have a snake and there are 50 people around, so you can no longer say 50 people are going to be careful. You no longer say the snake's not going to attack anybody. The odds are someone's going to get attacked by the snake. And that enters into the category of Pikuach Nefesh. So as a yochid, I can make a certain cheshbin. I can make certain cheshbonis. And I can have a situation where it doesn't quite meet the standard. Doesn't touch the barometer of Pikuach Nefesh. When you're dealing with the Hezek Sharabim, so then all bets are off. What was the original source of this idea that we're plugging now with the Tzedes Nachash? The original source of this was a statement of the Baal HaKadosh Gedolus. In the following sugya, the Gemara in the third Pekah Masechta Shabbos talks about that being mechabe agachela shamateches. The Gemara says, if you walk in the street and you see there's a piece of metal, a blazing hot piece of metal, that someone's going to get hurt on. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, are you allowed to extinguish that very, very hot piece of metal? Like I pour water or something onto this piece of metal to cool it off, that it should no longer be hot, I don't want you to get hurt on it anymore. So the Gemara says it's okay. The Gemara says, mechabe agachela shamateches. It's perfectly permissible to put out this kechel shemateches. And then the Gemara says that this is mutter, even if you hold malach ha-she'atzich legufa is chayev. Malach ha-she'atzich legufa means, as we said before, I do the malacha for a different purpose that was done in the Mishkan. What was the malacha's kibui done in the Mishkan for? Why did they extinguish things in the Mishkan? They didn't just stop blowing out fires. They extinguished things in the Mishkan in order to create charcoals, because they were using charcoals as part of the cooking process. So they needed to cook the dyes, etc. So they had to create these coals, so they would light up pieces of wood, then they would extinguish the wood and turn them into coals and use them for the process of cooking. So the Gemara says that the only time kibui is a malacha deraisa is if you're doing it letzorech latzos pecham, you're doing it in order to create the charcoals. But if you just stop putting out a fire because it's hot in the house and putting out a fire because it's dangerous or something, so that's not called the malacha hatzricha legufa. The Gemara says that even according to those who disagree, even according to Shmuel, Rabbi Yehud, even those who say the malacha hatzricha is chayav, it's still okay to be mechabe gechelo shabateches b'shesharabim. You're allowed to put out a glowing piece of metal in the middle of the street. Why is that mutter? What's that there? So this was a big, big machlekes rishonim. Why is that mutter? L'charet should be nisid deraisa. What's the matter here? So Rashi says that it's not a nisid deraisa. You know why? It's not a deraisa because it can't become a coal. That means even though, according to these shitas, you don't have to do it with tzorech asiyas pecham in order to be deraisa. Malach she'atzich legufa is also in a seder, but it has to be something that's in the ballpark of becoming a pecham. It has to be something that could become a kol. If it can't become a kol, that's not the tzuras of malach. That's not malach's kibbutz. That's a different action. That's called pouring cold water on a hot piece of metal. That's not called malach's kibbutz. So in order to be malach deraisa kibbutz, it has to be something that can become a kol, even though you're not necessarily interested in making it into a kol. So therefore, Rashi says that Gechel Shemotechus can never be deraisa. It always falls short of being deraisa. So therefore, it's mutter. Why is it mutter? It's still derabanan. It's mutter. You don't want to get hurt. It's like tzar. Look, Mokom tzar, they lifted this issa derabanan. But not everybody learns like Rashi. Baloch Skedolus has a totally different shot. Baloch Skedolus writes, you know why you're allowed to put out the Gechel Shemotechus? Because it's a Hezek Harabim. Because people are going to get hurt on it. Why people can get hurt on it? Because you can't always tell that it's so hot. A piece of metal doesn't always glow necessarily. It doesn't always tell. You can have a really good hot piece of metal in the street and somebody may get hurt on it. So the Baal Halacha Gedolah says is that since a lot of people are involved, and when you're dealing with a lot of people, it's hard to know. Yeah, if one person's going to touch a piece of metal, it's unlikely he's going to get terribly hurt. We'll get a burn. We'll get a little burn. We'll have to put something on, a little medicine, and I'll be okay. But if you have something that's a public health danger, and you have 50 people who may end up getting hurt, so out of those 50 people, there may be one person who's very, very sensitive medically. He may be a high risk kind of a person. Or let's say Khalil, a baby, somebody who may really, really be subject to potentially serious burns, which could potentially become a pikuach nefesh, you don't know. It's hard to predict. It's hard to know anymore. Again, I'm dealing with a one-on-one case, like a mikveh cheshbon. For me personally, if I touch the hot metal, big deal. I get a little blister on my finger and the world will go on. That's not pikuach nefesh mamish. When you're dealing with the tzechei rabim, it's a whole different ballgame. You can never tell. You never know what's going to result in pikuach nefesh. It's almost like there's a fascinating kesef mishnah that talks about a similar kind of an idea where there's a Gemara that says that under normal circumstances, there's an issur, you're not supposed to mimic the non-Jewish practices. Let's say, for example, if there's a specific non-Jewish style of getting a haircut, so you're not supposed to get a haircut in that way. The Gemara says the days of the Romans used to be certain ways of cutting the hair. They would leave things behind, whatever it was, blurs, whatever different things were. So you're not supposed to do that to mimic the non-Jews. So the Gemara says that there were some people in the Jewish community who used to have to go negotiate with the Romans. So the Tanoim permitted them to get these goyshe haircuts. They should fit in nice, they should fit in better in order to finagle, in order to be able to help politically the Jew, the Klal Yisrael. So they would let them, in effect, I guess as the phrase goes, when in Rome, do like the Romans. So they would permit these people to go get these goyshe haircuts, otherwise being in a sense in a violation of Sabla Selecho, in order to be Shtadlonim, to be Askanim, like they call today, to be Tumul on behalf of the Jewish community. So I guess the Mishnah raises the question, well, what's that there? If it's Asa B'Neftar, it's Asa B'Neftar. So you won't be able to be successful politically. So, well, where's the mat? To be able to get a few dollars for the yeshivas, well, there's a mat there to do an Issa D'Oraisa? That's crazy. So what's going on? How can Chazal permit that? So the guess the Mishnah quotes two approaches. So one approach, I guess the Mishnah says is that this Issa D'Oraisa, B'Chusev L'Selecho, is a kind of an Issa Shemesara Kosov L'Chachonim. We spoke about this in many cases. Most Yisurim Deraisa were given explicitly, given, you're not allowed to do A, B, C, X, Y, Z, you're not allowed to do the following. But sometimes the Torah speaks in very, very vague terms. The Torah says, don't do a general heading, a general category. And then Chazal kind of plug in what some of those details are. We spoke about this in Hilchos Chol HaMoed many times. The Torah never says which malachas you're not allowed to do in Chol HaMoed. The Torah says Chol HaMoed has to be a mikra kodesh. It's got to be a yom of chagayim b'sal chag l'Hashem. It's got to be a yom of tikkadin, a mikra kodesh tikkadin, etc. But the Torah doesn't spell out kol malachas aved l'sas. It doesn't say lamites malachas. It doesn't say which malachas are osur. So l'masar kasa l'cham. The chacham have to be kaveya. They have to establish what malachas are appropriate, what malachas are inappropriate on Chol HaMoed. So the same is true when it comes to b'chusel l'selecha. The Torah doesn't say what you're not allowed to do. So the Torah says in very general terms, you're not supposed to mimic the general secular society. So now Chazal b'kiveya that this kind of activity is considered to be mimicking, this kind of activity maybe is not called mimicking, etc. And there are machlokes, we spoke about this in the past. I mean, this was a Super Bowl shiur, if I'm not mistaken. This goes back, I think this was the second annual Super Bowl shiur, maybe about a couple of years ago, where we spoke about the parameters of Chukasem L'Selecho, where Rashi Chumash quotes. And one of the examples of Chukasem L'Selecho is going to sporting events. That's what Rashi quotes, to go to the theaters and to the circuses, etc. As it is for Chukasem L'Selecho. So we pointed out at the time, that seems to be machlokes and rishonim, what exactly the problem was. Some Rishonim say because there was a Vedazara at the events. I mean, the events were all surrounding, like the Olympics and the gods, whatever it was all surrounding Mamash, the idols. It was all a Vedazara Dika event. So a person is not allowed to participate that, even though he personally is not being a bit of Vedazara. That's what we said with Selechim. And then the other Rishonim seem to say, no, and not because there was no Vedazara person. That's not the Yisra. The Yisra is that this is a secular form of a non-Torah kind of an entertainment. That this in of itself is problematic from Sebel Selechim. Needless to say, I think most people are Mekel, believe it or not, most people are Mekel, like the first group of Rishonim. So we spoke about that in the Shir a couple of years ago. But again, Chukasem L'Selecho is a kind of an issue that the Torah doesn't give you exact details. It's a very vague kind of an issue, because the Mishnah writes that when you have that kind of a vague issue, that Chazal created the details, so Chazal can be mocked with the details also. It's almost like Heimam Veimamru. It's not exactly the same. Heimam Veimamru means Chazal made an Issur Derabanan, so they can give you certain exceptions to the Issur Derabanan. When the Torah gives you an Issur, so the Chazal can't be Oikad of the Torah. But this Issur is a funny Issur. It's an Issur Deraisa, but the details were Nikru by Chazal. So you could say on that Heimam Veimamru. So Chazal are allowed to say, we are going to build into this Kula, we're going to build in the Kula that for political reasons, we're going to be mad for the people to go to the dress like the non-Jews, to dress the Roman haircuts. But then the Kesmish gives a second tariff, which is Magev Ashley. The Kesmish says, no. Says, in Yonim of Malchus, in Yonim of going to deal with the government, there's always a Safik Pikuch Nefesh. Because you never know what's, we have to be in good terms with the Roman government, because you never know what's gonna impact on Klai Yisrael down the line. So if we don't get our right guys in to finagle with the Caesars and the Senate properly, so who knows what's going to happen down the line. So politics is a Shtichel Pikuch Nefesh. So it's very hard to understand that. So according to the second answer, the Kesef Mishnah, he's treating the non-Jewish haircuts as an Issa Deraisa, and he's saying, Afal Pichen, it's the motor based on Pikuach Nefesh. What kind of Nefesh is that? I understand if there's Mamash and Gezeira and the government's about to decree they're going to kill all the Jews, so then you got to get Esther Hamalka in there right away. That's Pikuach Nefesh. That I understand. But that's not what the Kesef Mishnah described. He's describing politics. Right? We have to get our guys, we have to lobby the government for this, for that, finagle it. So the Kesef Mishnah is saying, when you deal with Tzorche Rabim, you never know what's going to happen. He said, again, I don't want to draw parallels from the Roman government to the other governments that we're in, this man is there, but one can only imagine in ancient Rome, everything was a concern of Pikuach Nefesh, even though it wasn't a Chela Fanena right now, things weren't terrible. But you never know. And then we know it kind of right now. The hundreds and thousands of decrees that were that did cost many Jewish lives. So the Kesef Mishnah says to get the right people in at the right time, to get the ins with the Caesars, with the Senates, with the Maislach, with the right connections to politics, is also Chashash Pikuach Nefesh. So I think that Kesef Mishnah is almost Ka'ein des Malachus Gedolus. That when you're dealing with Rabbim, so the you can't make that equation anymore that is there a chola? Is there a doctor in the house? Is there a chola in the house? Great Pikuach Nefesh. We're dealing with Inyoni Rabim, so you have to take so many more things into consideration. So of course, that's obvious that some of the conclusions that we can draw from this for a parasha, today's parasha, is obvious that when you're dealing with potential dangers to the tzibur, so you have to make certain decisions that maybe you wouldn't make as a yochid, that there may be certain activities that may be okay for a yochid to do, that may be safe for a particular yochid to do. This particular yochid, you know, maybe he's not prone to something and he has certain protections or whatever the case may be. But you know, when you make a cheshir of Pikuach Nefesh of the tzibur, so you have to take a lot of other things into consideration. And sometimes tzibur doesn't only mean your small tzibur. Sometimes tzibur means the greater tzibur. So sometimes decisions have to be made for yachidim in light of the impact on tzibur. So again, that's just part of the general sugya of Pikuach Nefesh. Back to the story of Tzedis Nochosh. So this seems to be one theory in Rishayim B'dasei Rambam. The Bahag has this idea. And it's based on the Gechela Shel Matecha story that we can't risk even an outside chance of a Hezek Shel Rabim, because Hezek Shel Rabim can very, very quickly snowball to become a Pikuach Nefesh. So too, it's Tzedis Nochosh is too risky. So if there's one Nochosh in my backyard, if no one else around, and I know that it's not going to attack me, so I could just kind of mosey on into my house, I don't have to bother trapping the snake. But if there are 100 people around and there's a snake running around, so I can't make that cheshbon anymore. So that would be one approach to what Tzedis Nochosh is mutter. So again, everyone seems to agree Tzedis Nochosh L'Shechen was mutter in Shabbos. We're not sure why. So conventional wisdom, the way the Gemara seems to present, the way Tzedis writes, is that it's mutter because it's a Malach Shetzich L'Gufa. And once it's Malach Shetzich L'Gufa, it becomes only a Dirabonan. And once it's a Dirabonan, then Dirabonan is a mutter b'mokom tzar. Whereas according to the Rambam, that whole Mahalach doesn't even get off the ground. We have to go down a different route. And the route we have to go down is the route of potential B'gufa Nefesh. Again, we have to extend a little bit what is or is not Pikuach Nefesh. There is another approach that's taken, a totally different approach, that's much more Seder oriented, and that's an approach taken by the Sefi Yireyim, Rabbi Lezmi Mitz. Rabbi Lezmi Mitz was a Talmud for Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbi Lezmi Mitz writes that he thinks why Tzad Nachash L'Hashchenu is Mutter is because it's not even a Malach Shetzich L'Gufa. We're used to thinking that there's Malachas Mamish, that means I do the Malacha as was done in the Mishkan, the Tzarech HaDavash of the Mishkan. Then there's the next rung, the next level of Malacha She'er Tzich L'Gufa. It means I'm doing the Malacha, but I'm doing it for a different purpose in the Mishkan. And now, says the Arayim, there's a third category. The third category is I'm doing the malacha in a way that's almost the antithesis of what the Mishkan was. But my goal is not just it's bland, it's a parva goal, it's a different goal. It's the mamish 180 degree different from what the Mishkan's goal was. So take the malacha of Tzad Nochash. What was the malacha of Tzad in the Mishkan? The goal was to get the animal so that I can get the animal as close to me as possible. I want to trap those deer. I want to trap those tchoshim. I want to trap those animals. I want to use it to eat. I want to use it for whatever other reasons. I'm trying to get the animal as close contact with human beings as possible. I'm going to try to get it to its most confined space possible. That's called Tzad. Here, by Tzad Nochash Lo Yishchenu, your goal is to get this snake as far away as possible from you. The only way you could do it is to get into a trap and hopefully get that trap and take it out to the fire somewhere or dispose of it, whatever you're going to do with your snakes. You want to get the snake as far away from human contact as possible. Says the Sefer Reim, that's not a Malach Shetzich Gufa. That's better than a Malach Shetzich Gufa. That's the antithesis of the Malach. The antithesis of the Malach, you're trying to accomplish the exact opposite of what the Etzem of Malach was. I don't have to come on to Malach Shetzich Gufa for that. That's Mutter. Just because that's mutter. I mean, it's not necessarily deraisa, that's mutter, because that can't be deraisa. That is not shem tzadala. The very essence of the name tzeda doesn't apply under these circumstances. And this touches on something we spoke a little bit about in the past. So, sometimes the tzorech of a given malacha is almost tangential to the malacha. It means the malacha is basically nikra al shem de pu'ula, shem de ma'is itself. What my intention, what my agenda is important when you're discussing is it true to the gufa, not true to the gufa, but it doesn't touch on the very essence of the malach. Every once in a while, the tzorech is so bound up to the malach itself that the absence of the tzorech or the opposite of the tzorech undermines the very essence of the malach itself. Now, this is a very, very tricky category, very, very hard to know when that is true. We spoke about this, those of you remember, this goes back already, almost 2 years ago. We spoke about the malach of Disha. So Disha is threshing, and the whole goal of threshing is to get the stuff out to be able to use it. So some of the Rishonim coined the phrase like a dosh le'ibud, that are being seichet le'ibud, being chelev le'ibud. Remember we spoke about this, about milking the cows when you're discarding the milk, or the woman who's expressing milk and just throwing the milk out, or the person who's squeezing out the fruit juice to get rid of the juice. Different kind of examples of chelev le'ibud, seichet le'ibud, dosh le'ibud, mefaych le'ibud. So we saw that there were a whole group of Rishonim who said that that's not even a Malach Shetzich Gufa. That's better than a Malach Shetzich Gufa. That's a gornish. It's a nothing. That the tzorech is such an integral part of the etzem malacha. When it's lacking, it's ois malacha, it's not called malacha altogether. It's not exactly what the Lazmi Mitzvah is saying. Lazmi Mitzvah is saying that here, your tzorech is the opposite tzorech. But it's a similar kind of idea that we're, even in the world of those who deny Malach Shetzich, who have been opposed there, are still looking carefully, scrutinizing what your agenda is. We usually think that unless you accept Malach Shetzich Gufa being Potter, we don't really care what your agenda is. The only thing we focus is, are you doing the Maisa or not? So that's not always true. That even within those who deny Malach Shetzich Gufa, they may still look at the agenda. The agenda may still be important because certain Malachas lend themselves to being a Malacha if and when, to some degree, the agenda is being pursued. So this is a second approach that's given by Da'as and Rambam to explain why Tzad Nochash Lo Yishchenu can stand on its own two legs. It could be potter even if you did not Malach Shetzich Gufa, either because you go down the route of the Bahag, that it's a more expansive definition of Piguf Nefet, it's Hezek Rabim, or you go down the Sefer Yireim, that it's a focus and emphasis on Tzorech, even though Tzorech is not so important according to the Rambam, but to some degree it will serve a purpose, even in Malach HaTzeda as well.
Would this concept that if you're going counter malacha, does that work for every malacha? And if it's only for some, how do you know which one?
That's a million-dollar question, right? It's very hard to know. It's not always to figure out what's the counter malacha. Like, what would be a counter malacha of certain things? I'm not sure. Like, certain malachas lend themselves to the idea of counter malacha, and others don't. I'm not sure.
Like if I really want a blank piece of paper, and for whatever reasons I'm writing on that paper, would you say that that's counter kosev because I don't want the ksiva?
I mean, it's kind of tricky to know the answer. So what are you writing for exactly?
Right.
It's a funny thing. You have to find a malacha that I really want to do what I'm doing, but what I'm doing is so counter to what the Mishkan was, right? It's not okay. The easiest thing to necessarily find. So are there any other categories we could almost put this Rambam into, any other cools we could find? Could we almost familiarize ourselves with other precedents of other things that may make something putter or mutter that may be helpful for the Rambam as well? So the Magid Mishnah on this Rambam, he has a long discussion about this Rambam, and he throws in one line that he may be saying this, that maybe when the Rambam is describing the Tzad Nachash, so maybe the Rambam is not exactly describing it in the normal way of being Tzad. Maybe in the Rambam's nuances, and again, this is a little bit tricky, it's not 100% clear in the Rambam, but the Magid Mishnah seems to be learning this Tzad, that the tzeda that the Rambam is sanctioning is not quite regular tzeda. It's a little bit of a tzeda kaliachayad. Now, I'll tell you the honest truth. I don't know the regular way to trap snakes. I don't know the abnormal way of trapping snakes. I can just say we don't have a snake problem. We have a huge other kinds of animal problems in our backyard. Those menafini in our backyard are aware of. But we have an assortment of a little zoo going on in the back. But Baruch Hashem, so far so good, no snakes, at least as of yet. So the Magid Mishnah says that if a person traps a snake, it's going to be subject to the regular rules of trapping, in the sense of, if it's a malacha kileachayad, it's not going to be a deraisa. If it's not going to be a deraisa, so then we're opening ourselves up for, well, it's not a deraisa anyway, it's only a derabanan, and we're a derabanan, so then maybe we know b'makom tzar, it's mutter. So maybe that would be helpful here. And again, that's almost a little bit of a Matthias question. Assuming that the Rambam is only sanctioning a kiliachayad of snake trapping, it's not clear in the Rambam that that's the case. So again, this teretz could be true if the facts are true. But again, I'm not going to be machria for against the Magid Mishnah, whether the Rambam is actually talking about that kind of a teretz. But that would be, again, a potential type of a teretz to explain Shittas Rambam. So again, we've already seen that the Rambam at first glance is very, very difficult, and the different answers that are given are now impacting on different Yesodos and Shabbos, either the Yesod of Hezekiah Rabim, or the Yisod of Lokshet and Rufat Tzorech, etc. And now we're going falling back on some of the other principles that we spoke about in the past, Kaliachiyah, from Yet Hashem next week. So we'll try to flesh out a little bit some of the other answers to Shittas Rambam, and to move on a little bit more aspects in terms of Melachas Tzeid. Okay? We'll stop here. Maybe we could just turn off.